get yourself away from all distractions and your phone and ask yourself, what is it that we are trying to achieve? Nobody's going to build your business for you, so you need to get the time to learn how to do marketing. For the majority of people, when they have first come into self-employment and first starting their business on their own, it's feast or famine. 2017, I nearly lost the business. The truth is, I'd built on dodgy foundations, and I was kind of just hoping for the best. We were doing a hell of a lot of boilers, but there weren't really any profit in it. It gets to the back end of the month, I'm doing my accounts, and I think, we haven't made no money. Even though we had the most volume and the most turnover at that point than ever before.
What did you do in that moment? Because I'm sure there's going to be people listening who maybe are in a similar position.
Here's a golden question.
What an introduction. You're in for an incredible episode here. But before we dive in, can I just take 2 seconds from you just to hit the subscribe button on YouTube or leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform? It's an enormous help to us and the guests. That's enough from me. Let's dive into this episode. Tommy Leesmuider, welcome.
Hello, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me along.
It's absolutely fantastic to have you on. We obviously have been spending a bit of time talking to each other over the last few months, and this is a fascinating opportunity to really delve deep into who you are, who is Tommy. So just to kick you off, you run the boiler business and the Built to Last training program. How did that happen?
Right, okay. Originally, other than starting the boiler business early 2018, the predecessor to Built to Last was actually Dominate Marketing, which we'll explain the reason why we've ended up with Dominate Marketing back in 2017, 2018. Basically because at the time, I've built up a boiler installation business in Sheffield that was absolutely dominating Google search. So it was all about organic traffic. We had spent a hell of a lot of money on what I call advertising, but came to the conclusion that basically SEO and Google was the way to go. However, around about that time, 2017, I think it was, I nearly lost the business. Something that I often talk about is building the Tower of Pisa. You know, we built something that people looked at, that people thought, oh, that looks good, that looks impressive, that looks busy. Oh, they're busy. They're always picking up boilers from the merchants. How many vans is there? But the truth is, I'd built on dodgy foundations, and I could see that the business was leaning over. I could see that the business could fall over, and I was kind of just hoping for the best. Yeah, you can see a lot of our Built to Last branding is all about Rome. It's all about, you know, building. Rome wasn't built in a day. That saying, and I have visited Rome and the Colosseum. So from visiting Rome and thinking about my own business at the time, I just thought it weren't built to last. So having written the Dominate Marketing program of 3 months, and we'd already started training people, as we start to look at the program as a whole and think, well, what's missing? What's missing from this program that the plumbing and heating industry could do with? And we thought, well, we're not talking about systems, Payaka. we're not talking about systems, and we're not really talking about the most important thing in your business, and that's foundations. You know, or do you are you looking after your time? Are you controlling time? Not looking after it. Are you controlling time? Are you looking after your money? Are you looking after profits? But this is one thing that I think a lot of people are missing, and that's not having any direction. Not knowing where they're going or what they want to or where they want to go. So this is where the Built to Last brand came in, as we sat down and thought, right, if we were to do a day one, if we were to do one day that kind of captures everything together, it's got marketing, it's got systems, it's got foundations in, what will it be? And that's where Built to Last came about. So we first started delivering Built to Last in 2019, originally delivering it as live training. And then that thing called the pandemic came along and kind of made us switch our direction and start taking things online. So yeah, that's how we started off with Built to Last. The step before that really was looking at the plumbing and heating industry and kind of say, well, there's a lot of Facebook groups out there, but there's no one specifically talking about the business side of our trade. You know, how can we help people to give them an environment to openly talk about the business side of their trade without being pulled down, which is, you know, has been a problem in years past. I'm sure that doesn't happen now, but you know, back then it was a problem. So we built a nice, friendly, we always say nice and friendly. It's not really a case of trying to build a huge community. It's about having a friendly community. So that started 2018, around about the same time that we started the Dominate Marketing program.
So 2019, you've figured a lot of stuff out. And I think the fact that you've got that ability now to sort of divulge all of that wisdom that you've built up is just really based on that experience and each of those aspects of your life that you've gone through. One of them that really stands out, you touched on, was when you nearly lost the business. I think that is something that is a huge opportunity for people to learn from, and I'd love to delve into that. Like, take me back to the point when that happened. When was that, and what was the point that you realized?
Okay, well, let me just paint a visual picture for you here. Looking at a mountain, looking up at it and thinking, I can do that, no problem. And marching up it with your team, and then kind of getting to the top and thinking, we should have not done this. Okay, that's exactly what happened in my business. You know, we still have the business now. Not at the scale that it was back then, but it's not about volume. It's not about turnover. It's about, is your business providing what you need it to provide for you? But I guess what happened, going back to the analogy of looking at that mountain, is we climbed the mountain as a team. We built up to seven members of staff, which is not, it's not a ginormous business, but it's, you know, it's a decent little business doing decent volume and decent turnover. But we got to the top of the mountain with seven members of staff. We were doing a hell of a lot of boilers, but there weren't really any profit in it. So then what happened from going to bed one late January night, I think it was, so just after the peak season, you know, that quarter leading up to Christmas where you're installing lots and lots of boilers and, you know, staff are totally run off the feet, and you think, surely we must have made some decent profit. And I used to always do my accounts once a month, and it gets to the back end of the month, I'm doing my accounts, and I think, we haven't made no money. You know, we've done all that work, but where is the money? It's not in the bank account. It's not under the mattress. It's not under the pillowcase. I haven't stashed it anywhere else. So where is it? I've gone to bed, and it's something that we often tell in the Built to Last training, you know, John's story. John went to bed and he woke up the next day and he was £26,000 in debt. how did he go to bed and then wake up the next day suddenly in debt? And really, really simple, because he didn't have his eyes on his money properly. He didn't have the accounting software in place. He was relying on a relic of an accountant to say what profit and loss was, basically. And what my mistake was when going to bed that day is I'd not counted the fact that I've got to pay the staff the following weekend. And I were losing money, even though we had had the most volume and the most turnover at that point than ever before. So, you know, it was a real slap in the face of something's not going right here. Everybody else is looking at you that are not in your business and thinking, well, you know, things must be really good. But the truth were, we were, you know, we were selling ourselves too cheap in order to be busy, to keep staff busy. So that was like the top of the mountain. Coming down off the mountain, I have to say, coming down, it was possibly harder than going up, because that was all about trying to, rein things in, putting your prices up. So not just trying to compete on price, not just being busy, doing cheaper work to keep the lads busy. It was all about how can we start to make this profitable? How can we start to increase our perceived value? How can we start to charge more money? How can we start to attract better customers? And that there were more learned coming down off that mountain than what they were going up. Going up was the marketing in some way. Coming down was more business management and trying to systemize. Yeah, so it was a long journey. I have to say, you know, we go all the way back when I first took on a member of staff was 2013. Up to that point of peaking that mountain was 2016, I think it was, and then coming down on the other side. And it was coming down off the other side of the mountain that I once said to someone, if you turn around and looked at this and you had a choice, look, do I go up there or do I go around, what would you do if you had to do it again? And my answer was I think I'd go around rather than go up. There's plenty of nice hills to look at if I go around. I don't have to climb that mountain without the right equipment. So yeah, that's where the mountain analogy comes from.
So in that moment where you realized you kind of reached the peak of that mountain, as you put it, but in actual fact, it wasn't working, how did you get started on coming down? What did you do in that moment? Because I'm sure there's going to be people listening who maybe are in a similar position, that they have built something that isn't built to last. It is like, how do you start to turn that around? Because you talk about how that being such a, you know, a tough journey, but you've got to start somewhere, I guess.
Well, I guess this is how I'd prefer to explain this is what we do in the training is go right back to the start. Forget about what happened at the top of the mountain, because it was hard. It was damn hard trying to come down, simply because we'd not put the infrastructure in to the business at the start. And this is something that I see time and time and time again on all these Facebook groups of people just in a rush to get busy. That's all what you hear. Are you busy? How busy are you? How many boilers are you fitting? Nobody says how many days a week are you working. No one says...
Well, how much profit do you make?
How much profit are you making? You know, it's not about turnover, gross profit. It's about how much money are you making per... How much money are you actually walking away with per hour and per week? How many weeks of a year can you take off? You know? So how I'd prefer to say is, well, if we were to do it all again, how would you do it? And this is everything that we've put into the built to last workshop, by the way, rebuilt that last year, relaunched, built to last November last year, and we've spent the last six months getting that on online. So if we were to do it all again, it's not to be in a rush to get busy, not to be in a rush to get 5 members of staff. I'm not against not getting staff. I totally agree. Yes, there comes a point where you have to get staff. What I argue against is not getting more staff.
Mm.
We need staff.
But that's how you facilitate getting to your goal, right? So is what you're saying really about starting at the beginning and defining what those goals, what are you actually trying to achieve? And then everything else is like how you get there. Whereas using a metric of like how busy are you in that moment, how many staff you've got is all like they're not useful in themselves. That's just how you get to the goal that you have defined, whether that be I want to work 3 days a week or I want to, you know, generate this much profit, like whatever that goal is for you, that's the most important thing. And if you haven't done that exercise, how do you possibly measure that success?
And here's a golden question, and it's something for people to, you know, to sit down, turn their phone off, stop talking to everybody and go and have an hour on themselves, preferably in the pub. Go to the pub, get a pint and sit down with no distractions whatsoever on your own and think about what exactly is it that you're trying to achieve. If you're not one to go to the pub, go to the spa.
Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, it's a great think room for me. You know, just whatever it is, go for a walk, go for a run if you can think while you run. I know you're into riding. Whatever it is that is your quiet moment, fishing, for instance.
Yeah.
Get yourself away from all distractions and your phone and ask yourself, what is it that we are trying to achieve? Are we trying to achieve to be busy? Why are we trying to get busy? Often it's because it's going to be more money. All right, so the answer is not to get busy. The answer is I want more money.
But then that's probably not even enough of a goal in itself. It's like, but why? Why do you want that money?
Yeah,
what is it that you want to? And that, because if you measure it by the money, you're never going to be happy because it's what that gets you.
We always need more money.
Yeah, you can just keep. Yeah.
And now through my own, because clearly I'm. Talk left and right here. You know, I'm far on one side for I want the time. That is what drives me, is time, not money. I know if I have time, I'll get money, no problem. I know if I chase the money, I'm going to run out of time. And if I keep on chasing that money, I'm 42 years old now. I'm going to run out of time soon. So to me, it's more important that I focus on the time. When I've got the time, I can make more money, and a lot of people in the industry don't approach that. And like I said, I'm far on one side. I understand that, you know, people that are trying to save up for a mortgage, people that are saving up for a wedding, for instance, people that are trying to get the kid off to university, whatever. There's always financial pushers, the reason why we need to make more money at this certain point in life. But I think where a lot of people fail is it's always about trying to get the money. And in trying to get the money all the time, they create self-inflicted busyness. And self-inflicted busyness leaves no time to invest into our business. And if we can't invest into our business, we can't improve the marketing to attract the better customers to pay us more money, so that we make more money per hour. If we can make more money per hour, we have two choices. We can either choose to take it ourselves and have a lifestyle business, more fishing, more camping, more camper van, going off to France and Spain or wherever you want to go. Or we can put it into a team. We can invest in a team. The other side of it is, you know, we need to get the time, because nobody's going to build your business for you. So you need to get the time to learn how to do marketing. You need to get the time to invest into your Payaka CRM system. I can't put that one in.
For dropping that in there.
No, this is it. Because how many times do we see on social media groups people saying, I've got this software, I can't use it. I'm waiting for somebody to set it up for me.
Mm.
You know, I've had this for 6 months and I've not even scratched the surface. So you're paying for this. You're paying for the software, and you don't have the time to put into it. And it's self-inflicted busyness. And that, and I'm not just pointing this at the plumbing and heating industry. It's society as a whole. You get patted on the back. You know, even if I'm not talking to a tradesperson, someone will say to me, are you busy? And I think I offend some people when I say I don't like the word busy. Please don't ask me if I'm busy. They don't get it because they're not used to people saying that, because that's just society. But then in the trade industries, it's even more than that. And I know the reason why we are all striving the busyness. It's because for the majority of people, when they have first come into self-employment and first starting their business on their own, it's feast or famine. That's what it is. It's if I don't eat as much as what I can right now, because I don't know how many weeks it's going to be until I get some more money. Or if I don't make all this money this winter, I don't know how I'm going to get through the summer. And they just, and you know, once they're on that wheel, it just keeps on going. I have to be busy. I have to be busy. I have to say yes. I cannot possibly go into next week with only 2 days work booked in. I will not survive. And it's feast or famine.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm big against like stopping and saying to people, what is it that you're trying to achieve? Every family is different. Every business is different. The reason why every business is different is because there's a different person behind it. There's a different family behind it. There's a different team of people behind it. People change as well.
I mean, you know? I mean that also that question of what you're looking to achieve, that's the same question that every single person who runs a business should ask, whether that be your customer who wants to heat their home, or for us, people who are, you know, looking at software to solve certain problems, is sitting down with them and saying, what are the problems that you have? What are you looking to achieve? Before you even start thinking about the solution, before you go into like how you could possibly solve, is to get people to answer that question. And that is the best way you can help them. It doesn't matter what the business is, it's always the same. It's always that. If you're working with clients, it is, what are you looking to achieve? And that's the same for your business as well. And that's the only way that you can start to figure out how you can solve that problem, is defining what it is.
I like analogies. And the reason for that is because it paints a picture. You know, let's be honest, many, many people in our industry are males, okay? Males tend to like visualization, you know? And when we close our eyes and we hear audible, we hear things, we paint pictures in our minds. So that's the reason why I like analogies so much. And one reason why I'm going to this, other than going up and down the mountain, is every business is different, and every person, every business owner is different, and we need a different house. You know, some people just want a bungalow for them, the two kids, and the missus or fella. Some people are going to need a few semi-detached houses, maybe four, or an apartment block. And some people are going, absolute deep and needing a full estate. The question is, what is it that you're trying to achieve? If you're just going to be happy with looking after you and your own family, we just need to build a bungalow. If you are going to be taking on a small team of people, you're going to need an apartment block. An apartment block's going to need deeper foundations. An apartment block is going to need a little bit of marketing to attract some people, more people, more customers, and more systems. So it's all about what is it that you're trying to achieve? Where are you in life? Also, definitely, yeah. You know, the guys that are coming in the 20s, next Pimlico. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a lot of respect. I've got a lot of respect. You know, you got to look at the 80s hairstyle and think, well, he's carrying it on, you know. I've got a lot of respect. But, you know, the guys coming in the 20s are, I can do this. And then the guys in the 40s are a bit like, it's either I'll stay as I am, or I've been there and I've done that and I've figured out that I'm better off smaller. You know, the younger you are, it seems to be the more ambitious you are, which is fair play. You know,
I do think that is part of it, like being younger. But another part of it is just being fresh and new to something. And I think that is also something for you that it wasn't like you started, you know, plumbing and heating as an apprentice. You came from other experiences in other industries, and that just coming into something fresh with your, you know, none of the bad experiences, or there's nothing that's really like tarnishing that view of what's possible, is something that I think is important there. So the age, I think, yeah, it's relevant, and maybe you're hungrier, but I think being new, and that is also something it'd be great to talk a little bit about, how you did start and how you got into plumbing and heating and where you came from there, because I think that also helps shape what you're able to offer people in your training programs now.
Absolutely. So where Matt's going on this, because me and Matt have had several conversations over the last number of months, I was not a plumbing and heating apprentice at the age of 16. At the age of 24, I was at university doing music technology. Straight out of university, I was running a record store. The entirety of my 20s, I was a professional DJ. So being a DJ and running a record store, I got a little bit of time on my hands. But what I saw back in 2005, 2006, is that the people coming in and spending money were tradespeople. No, there were no plumbing and heating engineers coming in and spending money on records. It was all electricians, aircon people, plasterers, builders, joiners. I can't remember a plumber coming in that record shop. But what they used to do on a Saturday morning, I can remember it, because as you know, as a guy at the age of 24, 25, I was a bit more naive, maybe. And I was looking at these guys coming in who were working on site, and they were walking in with shopping bags worth of nice clothes that they've just bought. They were splashing £100, £150 every week cash on vinyl records, because I was a vinyl dealer. And then talking up how they're going out to, you know, to the best place in the city on Saturday night every week. And as a 24, 25-year-old guy, I was a bit like, this music industry thing for me, it's, I need some of that cash. I need to get another trade. I need to get a mortgage. I want a car. You know, I wanted all these things that I was imagining that these trades people were getting, and I was missing out on through being in the music industry. Now, because I was in the music industry, I'm running a record shop and selling records across the globe, I was totally at home on the internet. I was totally at home with software systems. because that's what I studied, music technology. It was nothing about doing the DJing. It was more the fact that everything had led up to that point in 2006 when the record shop owner turned to me and said, one of the old directors wants to come back into the business. And I thought, there's not enough room for the three of us. So I know what I'll do. I'll go and take a loan. I'll go and study to be some tradesman. I don't know what I'll do. I'll do electrics. Might do electrics. Might do gas. Might do aircon. I can't remember, you know, where I was at. And that's what I did. I took out a loan, left the record shop, took out a loan. I was still DJing professionally for 4 years after that point. And I went and signed on to one of these evening gas courses for £7,000.
Why did you pick gas?
Why did I pick gas? I'll tell you why. Because the literature, the brochure, okay, this is back in Corgi days. The brochure had multi-skilled gas engineer, and it had a gas emblem, and it had Corgi plumbing, I'm sure, and it had Corgi electrics. And I was like imagining myself to be like some sort of energy superhero. With three badges across my chest. I could see it. I got a cape, you know, energy superhero. Don't worry, lady, I'll help you. Something like that. So I took the loan, went to do the training, and hey ho, I kind of didn't expect, you've got to get a portfolio. How do you get a portfolio when you don't have a job? So it took me a while to get that portfolio together. And at the age of 29, I'm a qualified gas engineer with no experience. Well, yeah, I'd got plumbing experience, but I'd never had a job. And that basically forced me into, my little boy's here, by the way, that totally forced me into, I've got to go self-employed. I can't apply for a job. I've got the qualification. By the way, I only had gas by that point. I never got the electrics. I've got the qualification, but I don't have the experience, so I can't get the job. So my only route into this is to be self-employed. All right, so I'm self-employed. I've got the qualification, but the phone's not ringing. I've been sold a lie. It cost me £7,000. They promised me. They told me I'd be on £45,000 in 2007. It's now 2022, I look at the industry and I see all these people coming from outside the industry. I see all these people coming from out of the forces, for instance, and a lot of people make the same, I'm not going to call it a mistake, they choose the same route and they imagine that just because I've got the qualification, I will get a job. Just because I've got the qualification and I get some business cards and I get a sign put down the side of my van, my phone's going to ring. And it's like a big wake-up call when you're not going to get that 40 grand job and the phone's not going to ring. We see it time and time again. It's people not knowing where to go next. They are walking round and round in circles. They're in the woods. They're stuck. You know, they've been doing it for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and they don't know how to get out. For me, getting the phone to ring is massively important. It's massively because, you know, without the phone ringing, without some money coming in, we can't eat, we can't pay the rent, we can't pay the mortgage. Once that phone starts ringing, this is where people get it wrong, is once they start ringing, they just think, because of this feast or famine that started in the early days, it's all about getting busy, getting busy, getting busy. Oh, I'm now too busy, I've got to get staff. I get the staff, now I've got to get busy, but I'm not busy and I've got to keep them busy. And then your overheads go up, but you don't have the time to invest into your marketing. You don't have the time or money to invest into your systems. So ultimately, coming all the way back to the start of this story and all the analogies, you've built on dodgy foundations. You've built the Leaning Tower of Pisa. it's only going to go up so far. You put another story on top of that, it's going to come down. So that's what we share in Built to Last. If I dare do a little plug before I go and see my little boy, Built to Last workshop is now going to be coming to an internet browser near you soon. It's coming online.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So Matt, I could chat.
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on. Because I'm passionate. I'm really passionate on trying to help people and help the industry not make the same mistakes that I made. And I speak to loads of people that have not made the mistakes that I've made and still think, well, there's good value here. Maybe I've not made the mistakes that these people have made or what other people have made in the industry, but I could tighten up my marketing. I could tighten up my systems. I wish I had more time. I wish I made more profit. And that's what we do in Built to Last, in Built to Last workshop. And then when we're in the Built to Last members club, it's a community of plumbing and heating engineers across the UK that are sharing their experiences, sharing their highs, sharing their lows, sharing little nuggets. It's all about the community. That's the...
And I think the biggest thing that you can offer there is that wealth of experience, but also the mistakes that you've made and being very open with that. And that's something that a lot of people just don't transparently admit. And I think that's really, really valuable, because people are going to have a lot of respect for that. If they can hear you talk about what you've learned from the mistakes you've made, that helps them avoid those same mistakes. That's huge for anyone who started a business. I think if they can speak to someone who can point at some mistakes you do have to make yourself, but there's a lot of shortcuts you can make if someone is able to articulate that. So I can see like how valuable that could be.
Yeah. And, I share it where I can. That's what the community is for. That's what the Boiler Business community for is there for. It's for people to talk about the business side of our trade. It's friendly. It's open. There's a lot of good value shared there. Put on top of that some guided framework of learning. And for a lot of people, it's helping you get out of the woods, basically. Everybody's path is different. You cannot copy somebody else. It's not a one size fits all. You cannot answer an ad that pops up on social media with some fantastic looking teeth promising to make you seven figures next year. Okay. It don't work like that, because every business is different. So what we need to do is get the knowledge. And when we get the knowledge, we have more choices. But once we've got the choices, we've actually got to do the hard work of implementing it. So it's there's more to it. We need the learning, but then we need the motivation and the backing and the support to actually do the implementation side of it as well.
Fantastic. There is loads more I'd love to delve into, but I sense you need to go see your family.
I'm imagining my little boy's going to come through with Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
He's not played with Thomas the Tank Engine since for a good few years, but I noticed him back into it the other day.
Back into it. Nice.
So yeah, so Matt, thank you very much for inviting me along. We can do this. We can have a part two.
The bit that I want to go into at some point is that marketing side, because that's the bit that you got right. And the story of what you did there, I think, is a fascinating one. So we'll save that for next time. It's been fantastic having you on. Thanks very much. We'll speak soon.
We will do, my friend. Toodle-pip.
Cheers. Wow, this episode with Tommy Leesmuda was incredible. If you're listening to the show, please hit the follow or subscribe button. It helps all the guests that you're listening to on the show, and it helps us deliver more episodes full of top business tips.